Daniel chapter 2, we'll be in Daniel chapter 2. We'll look at some other verses. If you remember last week, I said over the next several Sundays, minus a few, we'll have some interruptions along the way, but over the next several Sundays, we'll be talking about some future events that are on God's timetable. We can look in Scripture. We're not going to predict when, who, but the Bible gives us some indications, gives us some things that we can guide our life with and to even see just the coming of the Lord drawing closer and closer and closer, which obviously should excite God's people, but at the same time help us to be sober and vigilant that, you know what, time is short, life is but a vapor, God has things for us to do, the people to influence for Christ, and we want to be found faithfully serving the Lord when he does appear. And we're called up to be with him in the clouds. But this morning, we're going to look at just the one world empire that's coming, the one world government, according to Scripture. And we'll end, obviously, looking at Jesus Christ. I'm not going to end you on a sour note or a heavy note. But last week, if you remember, we looked at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because I thought it was good as we started this type of series to remind ourselves that Jesus rose from the grave. We serve a risen Savior. He has the keys of death and hell. He has all power, all right? The devil has some power, but God has all power. And we started with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we're done with this series, we're going to end with the second coming of Christ. All these events that we'll look at are obviously in between the resurrection and the second coming. And that will encourage us again, just that we do have a risen Savior who's coming back for us. He's prepared a place for you. He loves you. He cares much about you. He has given you of his Holy Spirit, because when he told his disciples it was expedient for him to go away, because the Holy Spirit could not come until he left. And he gave us of the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to guide us. But there's coming a day we will see him face to face. Look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 31 through 45. So Daniel chapter 2, starting at verse 31, the Bible says, "Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly, his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet of part iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell thee the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art his head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom, inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. We'll stop right there and let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for, again, the wonderful day that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for each and every person that is here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would give us hearts to receive the truth, give us ears to hear, Father, give us the wisdom, the discernment we need to follow your guidance. Father, I ask that you would, Lord, Father, the future, it's completely yours. As we're told in Deuteronomy 29, that the secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things that have been revealed to us belong to us and our children. And Father, we're not here this morning to try to pinpoint down dates or pinpoint people, but Father, you give us wisdom through the scriptures to know that we're getting closer to what the Bible talks about, a one world government, what the Bible talks about, the rising of the Antichrist. There's already an Antichrist spirit in this world, but there's coming one that will rise up and he will promote himself to be God. And Father, we know that there is one Lord, one God, and one King, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord of lords and King of kings. But Father, you've given our adversary some time. But Father, while he has time, you've given us time as well, not only to draw closer to you, but to tell others about Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask that you would help us to do that. But Lord, as we sit here this morning, would you guide us through the scriptures? But Father, thank you. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. We know we're on the winning side because we know that Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. And we know, Father, we have victory through Jesus Christ. And he even told us that we have victory over this world because he has gotten the victory over this world when he laid down his life on Calvary, when his blood was shed for the remission of sin, and he rose again 3 days later from that grave, that borrowed tomb, because he didn't need it more than 3 days. And Father, we thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Please guide us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 11, because as we talk about the coming world power, the one world order, you hear different things in our world and even in the news media and by certain people in higher authorities. They'll use terms like globalism, new world order, the great reset. They use terms that they know refers to a one world order. And they tried it back in Genesis chapter 11. And God didn't allow them. But it just, in Genesis chapter 11, it lets us know that, again, the Bible tells us one day there's coming a one world government. There's coming a one world leader who's going to come on the scene as an artificial prince of peace, because he'll come, as the Bible says, on a white horse with a bow, conquering with peace. But there's only one prince of peace, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just remember, the devil always has counterfeits. The devil always has counterfeits. The devil will always try to throw God's people off track and get people caught up in things that are not biblical, things that are not godly, try to get people off track, trying to follow. Because there's nothing new under the sun. The Bible talks about that in the latter days, people will be drawn away from God by having itching ears, hearing things that are new. And prophecy is kind of fascinating. And there again, you got to be careful when you listen to people that teach on prophecy. I'm not a prophecy teacher. I'm a Bible teacher. I can show you what the Bible says, but I cannot predict the future. No one can predict the future. God holds the future. But the adversary, the devil, does know some things. He knows his time is short. He knows what he's doing in this world. But you and I have to be wise, and we have to follow the Lord. Let God be our guide. We don't want to be led astray. We don't want to start believing things that are not true. That's why there's a lot of good books written by good Christians, but you still have to remind yourselves they're just that, books written by people. The only book we have that's infallible without error is the Word of God. Again, like I said, fact, I want you to go to Deuteronomy 29 real quick before we get to Genesis. I want you to look at Deuteronomy 29. I want you to look at verse 29. I referenced this in my prayer, but I want us to look at it. Deuteronomy 29, 29. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I mean, God's given us his word, okay? And this is what God says in his word in Deuteronomy 29, 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Stop right there. Remember, the disciples asked Jesus when all these things were going to happen. They wanted to know the things that Jesus was teaching. When was his millennial kingdom going to be set up? When was the Lord going to reign on earth in his kingdom? Wanted to know when all these things were going to happen. And Jesus said that even his return, only the Father knows. Nobody knows when Jesus is going to return. The Lord is not going to reveal it to any human. Jesus Christ will be the first one to know when the Father says, now, go get my children, okay? So you got to be careful. You don't follow or listen to someone who wants to predict who the Antichrist is. Because you know what? There's been many of people in this world that could qualify for the Antichrist, but they're not the Antichrist in the latter days, okay? Because there are many that are against Christianity, many that are against the things of God, many that try to destroy God's word, but they've never prevailed because God is the one that is in control. God's in control of everything in this world. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law. God wants us to follow him by faith. God wants us to trust him. God wants us to rely upon him and not rely upon man. I've said it before. Don't take my word. Do what the Bereans did. When Paul came to the Bereans, they searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying was true. And then they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. All right? Don't believe everything a man says. Now, I will give you scripture, and I will try my best to keep my opinions out of it. And if it is my opinion, I'll try to tell you, this is what I think, all right? Scripture isn't clear, but I think, and I'll even try not to do that because I want you to follow the word of God because it's God that reveals things to us, all right? But again, talking about the coming world empire, the one world government, when you look at Genesis chapter 11, look at verse 1. The whole earth was of one language, of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound the language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. All right? The name of it is called Babel because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. All right, so we look at that. There's a man by the name of Nimrod who rose up during that time to be the leader there in Babel, and they had basically a one-world government. They had a one-world religion. Nimrod was in control during that time. And again, I'm not going to go through all the history of it, but let's know that the one-world religion, the one-world government, was tried before in Genesis 11. God scattered them. God confounded them, gave them all the different languages that we have today. All right, they could not complete what they started out to do because they wanted to make themselves great. And again, when it says make a tower up to heaven, not up to heaven where God is, but up to the skies. They were trying to make themselves huge and big. And you had one man that was in charge. And it is it's a symbol. It shows us of the coming Antichrist, who will be the one world leader. He will be worshiped as God. There will be a one world religion. All that is coming. That will happen. The Antichrist will be revealed, according to 1 Thessalonians, after the Holy Spirit is removed from the earth. The church, the born-again believers, God's people removed at the rapture, then that Antichrist will be revealed. But what I want us to understand, that there are things that will happen and transition this world to get to that place that, you know what? When the church is raptured out and the Antichrist is revealed, everybody accepts him. Everybody accepts him. And you kind of have to wonder, you know, how would people accept the Antichrist? I mean, how would people be conditioned to be able to follow somebody who is the devil, who is of wickedness? How is it that people are going to allow themselves to receive, as Revelation tells us, a mark on our right hand or on our forehead? It's because people have been conditioned to just go along with what they're told to do. And we're living in a day and age where people are conditioned and being conditioned just to follow what you're told to do. Now, the Bible believer is contrary to that. The Bible believer knows that there's only one we are to follow, and that is Jesus Christ. All throughout Scripture, you see God's people constantly being told to follow, to pray to somebody else. Daniel, remember at the beginning of Daniel, Daniel purposed in chapter 1 not to defile himself with the king's meat, with the king's wine. There came a time where Daniel had to choose between praying to the God of heaven or praying to King Darius, because King Darius was tricked into signing a law that nobody could pray to any god or any other person except to King Darius for 30 days, and it was solely done because those men wanted to kill Daniel. They knew they could catch Daniel praying because Daniel was a faithful man of God who prayed every day. The Bible says three times a day. And you've got this world that we live in that is sin-cursed, but it's a world that is, it's heading in a direction. Nobody's here by chance, and things in this world are not just happening by accident. Things are happening, things are progressing to get us to that place, to get the world to the place that the Bible talks about, a one-world government, a one-world religion. But how can you do that when you have a country, the United States of America, that was founded upon the biblical principles of God's word, and men that signed the Declaration of Independence, signed the Constitution? I mean, those men that were instrumental in constructing the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the We the People. I mean, they were instrumental because they had a walk with God. There were those men that had a walk with God, and they were seeking a country so they could freely worship God according to Scripture. All right? So how do you get a country that has freedoms to go along with, I'll say, the Antichrist and his agenda? I mean, how do you get people to turn? Because again, not everybody in our country is a born-again believer or a true Christian. All right? There's a lot of people that stand up for the country, constitutionalists, those that believe in freedom, okay? But how do you get a country that is strong in its freedom to follow what the world wants to do, what the globalists want to do, those that want to have a one-world system? Well, we'll see some things this morning, and I want us to start with looking at verse 27 and 28 of Daniel chapter 2. All right, Daniel chapter 2, because in this dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had the dream of this awesome, terrible looking statue, and it scared him to death. He just could not fathom what it meant. God gave him this dream, and Daniel is going to interpret it because Daniel understands that God is revealing something to the king as he reveals it to us in his word. But notice in Daniel chapter 2, verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king." Before verse 27, King Nebuchadnezzar wanted his own astrologers and wise men to tell him what his dream was and what it meant. He was so scared that he totally forgot what the dream was. And he wanted his wise men to tell him, but they couldn't tell him. They said, there's not a God that can tell you. And Nebuchadnezzar was so furious that he commanded all the wise men, which would include Daniel, to be killed. And they come to Daniel to do just that. And Daniel asks, you know, what's the haste of this? Why is the king so hasty in this matter? And they reveal to Daniel that the king had a dream. And Daniel's like, bring me before the king. And Daniel goes and he prays along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They pray. God reveals the dream to Daniel in a night vision and the interpretation of it. So now in verse 27, Daniel stands before the king and says, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven." Never forget that. I know you won't, but never forget that. There is a God in heaven who is above the authorities of this earth. He is above men of this earth. In fact, God's the one that sets down the laws. God's the one that God instituted government. Government for good, and again, men will turn what's good into evil for their own gain, all right? Again, but there is a God in heaven, Daniel says, that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. What shall be in the latter days? Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. God reveals to King Nebuchadnezzar kingdoms or empires that are going to come to pass in latter days. There are three that have been. There's four that have been, but then there's another one that's coming. All right? I want you to think about just the identity that he reveals in the verses that we read earlier, okay? The golden head, all right, and all of that stuff. I want you to look at it in verse 29. All right, let's just look in verse 29, all right? One thing I want you to understand is a lot of things in Scripture are symbolic. There are things that are factual and true. Some things God uses to symbolize something else, okay? Verse 29, Daniel goes on to say, "As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass." Daniel, again, is just letting them know that there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets. There's a God that's letting you know what is coming to pass. And Daniel is going to reveal the interpretation of this dream, of this symbolic image that the king has seen, and Daniel saw as well. God allowed him to see this image, this great statue that represents four different kingdoms that would rise out of the earth at different times. When you look at verse number 40. "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise." In a moment, I'm going to let you know that is the Roman Empire. That's the Roman Empire. Different empires at different times. The head of gold, if you were to go back up to verse 32, the head of gold is the Babylonian Empire, and that was Nebuchadnezzar. All right, and even Daniel conveys that to him, that the golden head was his kingdom. And the Babylonian kingdom reigned from 606 BC to 538 BC. The silver arms in the chest was the Medo-Persian Empire that reigned from 538 to 330 BC. Again, these were empires that controlled the known world at the time, I mean, everybody was under their control. It was a one world government at the time, not the one world government, but throughout history, man has always wanted to be in control, all right? But praise the Lord, we have our free country, all right? But there's coming a day where there's going to be sectioned off, I'll call them states, where there's not separate countries, but there'll be 10 states that are under 10 kings, 10 authorities, and then those 10 will give their power to the Antichrist. We'll get to that in a minute, but just understand that these are the kingdoms that Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar that are coming. Again, Babylon was a great kingdom. It was a great empire, all right? Great power, but again, they fell to the Medo-Persian Empire in 538. And the Medo-Persian Empire was there until 330 BC. In 330 BC, the Greek Empire came in. And that's the brass, the belly, the brass belly, and the thighs. From 330 BC all the way to 63 BC. And in 63 BC, the Roman Empire took over, conquered the Greek Empire. And the Roman Empire was the largest and longest surviving empire during that time. The legs of iron. The legs of iron represents the Roman Empire. And they were in control from 63 BC all the way to 476 AD. 476 AD. Then you get to the toes. The toes that are mixed. The toes that are clay, I should say. And that is what is considered the revised Roman Empire. Because with those, with the legs of iron, I didn't think to bring a picture, but you think about just if you were envision this statue of a golden head and the silver arms and the chest, the brass belly, the thighs, and then the legs of iron, they go down, but then the feet are still of iron and the toes are clay. And it talks about just the revised Roman Empire and how there's going to be, as Daniel said, a mixture of strength and yet a mixture of brokenness, where it's going to be a strong but yet weak, strong but yet weak empire. The Babylonian Empire was the strongest, and as it has progressed down through the ages, each empire became weaker and weaker. But when you get to this Roman Empire, think about the Roman Empire at the time reigned from its just the area they had was from England and Spain all the way over towards Israel. I mean, all around the Mediterranean Sea, and they had this massive, massive landmass that they controlled. They governed. I mean, they were in control, okay? Remember, in the days of Jesus, the Romans were in control. The Romans were in control, the Roman Empire. Listen, stay with me because you might think, well, how does this affect me? It does, because if we're not careful, if we do not watch what's happening in our world, we're not going to be prepared. We're not going to be prepared. Again, there are people, and I'll even admit this, there was a time in my life where I thought, you know what, we'll be raptured out. I'll be raptured out before it gets bad, before anything happens. Because the Bible says I'm not appointed unto wrath. I'm not appointed unto God's wrath. Now, we know according to Scripture, we will be raptured out before the Antichrist is revealed. But we don't know what our world or even our country is going to be like at that moment. Because again, in order to have a one world government, every country has to be willing to give up their authority, to give up their sovereignty to somebody else, or it has to be taken from you. If you look at our country right now, it just things are not the way they used to be. It just seems like things are progressing faster towards just the downfall of our country. And it is meant to be in order to usher in what the Bible talks about, a one world government. Now, as God's people, we don't have anything to worry about because we won't be here during the reign of the Antichrist. But listen, we still need to be aware that, you know what? it'll get tough for us. Freedoms will be taken away. We may not be able to do what we're doing this morning at some point, gathering together publicly in a public place. Because history always repeats itself. And the Bible, God's word, shows us not only these different empires that came to pass, but even the one that's going to revive again, the Roman Empire that will revive again. And you think about just over on that side of the world, just even, let me just throw out there, the European Union. That's all countries coming together under the European Union, and it will continue, okay? It will continue to grow. I want you to think about this. Think about in Daniel chapter 7, verse 7 through 8, all right? Daniel mentions these beasts. These four beasts are the same as, oh, I'm sorry, not the four beasts. Yeah, the four beasts are the same as the four empires I mentioned. And listen, after this I saw in the night visions, Daniel says, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, Daniel says, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. Behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. That little horn that comes up speaking great things, that will be the Antichrist. But I want you to know, so with the 10 horns, those 10 horns are compared to the 10 toes that are in Nebuchadnezzar's vision. God gave Daniel another vision where he saw these four beasts, which represented the four kingdoms. And he saw the one that was dreadful, the fourth beast that was dreadful, that had the 10 horns again that represented these 10 geographical areas. During the Roman Empire time, during the revised Roman Empire time, these 10 kings, these 10 governors, these 10 kings that will be in charge, that give their power over to, they give their power over to the Antichrist at the time. Now, again, I'm kind of going through this real quick because I want you to look at verse 34. All right? There's these kingdoms that have risen, all right? One is not, one shall be. The Roman Empire will rise again. We see that over in Europe happening. It's been happening for a while. It will continue. But I want you to notice, all right? Notice what God reveals in verse 34 and 35, okay? These great kingdoms of the earth, these great kingdoms that have men in power. But again, there's nobody that's greater than God. And in verse 34, thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. This stone cut out without hands, it symbolizes Jesus Christ, who's going to come and crush the kingdoms of this world and set up his kingdom. Notice what it says. It says that in verse 35, that no place was found for them, these other kingdoms, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Jesus is going to come. He's going to destroy the last kingdom. He's going to destroy that last empire when they fight against the Lord. And we'll get more into that in some other services. But again, the stone, Jesus Christ, again, is the one that will set down his kingdom. He will demolish, he will crush all the kingdoms of the earth, but they will rise, okay? They will rise, and it takes them conditioning people. It takes them robbing us of freedoms and stuff. You know, I don't know how bad it will get for us in America. We can still do what the Bible says and resist the devil by praying against the devil and doing our God-given responsibilities in this country the best we can, voting and all of that, all right? Not getting political, I just want you to know that these things happened, we know they happened, and there's one that is going to come. In Matthew 21, verse 42, and time always escapes, Jesus saith unto them, Did you never read in the scriptures as he speaks to the religious leaders, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will be ground to powder, or it will grind him to powder. It's better to fall upon Jesus Christ instead of Christ and his wrath and his punishment falling upon you. That is what Jesus is saying. He is that stone that's going to come and demolish the kingdoms of the world. Again, when you go back to Genesis 11, man on the earth wanted to be God, wanted to leave God of heaven out of their life, build their temple of worship, build their government, have their one leader, have their one religion without God. Many people are still trying that. There are countries that want the power, all right? There's countries that have fought for power. I mean, again, just throughout history, the different empires taking over one another, all right? Countries fighting against each other, rising up against each other. Even now, I mean, China is showing its strong arm right now. Now that we have a weak presidential government body, I mean, China now is showing how strong it is. And again, China is part of that Gog and Magog war. The Bible talks about China and Russia, and they're all flexing their muscles right now, and they want to control the world. All right. Everybody wants to control the world. And again, you'll hear it. I mean, if you listen to people at different times in government positions, different presidents have even said, we need a one world government. We need a new world order. Presidents you voted for have even talked about that. What I'm saying is what's happening in the world today and what will happen, it's exactly what God said would happen. But there's nothing for the child of God to fear because we're on the winning side. We need to be vigilant. We need to be praying. We need to be ready. We need to be watching. But at the same time, praying. Because listen, our country right now is going down the tubes. And we need to be praying for our country. We're still told in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. We still need to pray, okay? Yes. What Scripture reveals to us, it's still going to happen. But it doesn't mean we as God's people stop praying and stop serving God and stop following God, okay? I mean, there is chaos in our country because the only way that they can get people and countries to align with what the globalists want to do and have the one world government and the one world system is to either get rid of those that are against their agenda or try to suppress them and oppress them and persecute them into submission or just destroy their country. And our country is being destroyed right now. Being destroyed on the borders. It's being destroyed within and without. But listen, there is a cornerstone. There is a stone that is going to return that he will set everything right. But we still have to be wise. We still have to see what's happening and know it's just progressing to what the Bible tells us. It's progressing to the return of Christ. And very quick, I just want you to think about this. Think about just this revised Roman Empire that's going to take place, starting with the first Roman Empire back in verse 40, all right? The legs of iron symbolized the Roman Empire during that time of 63 BC all the way to 476 AD. It was the strongest and longest enduring Gentile empire. And like I said, it stretched from England and Spain all the way to Israel, just massive expansion of its influence and its power. And in verse 41, whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, this is the revised Roman Empire. It will be a confederation of 10 kings or 10 rulers at the time that will come together under that. Now, again, how all that plays out right now, there's not 10 different governmental bodies around the world, but you know what? I think we're fastly getting approaching that. If they can destroy America and destroy our freedoms, they'll get what they want. But again, just there will be 10 kings in the revived Roman Empire that will eventually give their power to this beast. In Revelation chapter 17, Revelation 17 verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, "The 10 horns which thou sawest," and this again, this was revealed to John. Remember, John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. First, he was boiled in oil alive. He survived that. And they still, you would think, whoa, you know what? Man, God is on your side. We're not going to mess with you. No, they still wanted to get rid of him. They sent him to the Isle of Patmos, thinking, okay, he can't do any damage there. But man, on the Lord's Day, you go to Revelation 1, on the Lord's Day, he's in the Spirit. He is worshiping the Lord, and God speaks to him. God shows him great things. God catches him up into heaven, shows him great and mighty things, some things he's not able to write down. But what is written down, obviously, is revealed to us. But John, he sees this beast, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. All right, so these 10 kings are going to give their power unto the beast, the beast being the Antichrist in Revelation 13. All right, they will give their power to the Antichrist by mutual consent. They will share one mind with the Antichrist, and that is to have this one world under his authority, the ultimate form of political globalization, which is the one world government. But listen, in those days and even now, there are satanic influences. Right now, there are satanic influences. I might bring this up next week, but there are several people in the political arena who have verbalized the fact that they have, I forget the term they use, they have spiritual guides that helps them do what they do. And there's one that actually wrote a bunch of books on her spiritual guide, and her spiritual guide's name was Ty Bedd, and it was just demonic, because behind globalism, behind the mind of globalism, is demonic powers. Because God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Antichrist, again, are people that want government to take care of them. Remember in the Old Testament, the Israelites told Moses, "We want a king." Or, I'm sorry, they told Samuel, "We want a king. We want to be like all the other nations." And Samuel was mad and upset about it, and God told Samuel, "They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me." Because God's the one that brought them out of bondage. God is their God. Okay? So again, there those that want to be God are Antichrist. Okay? These are things, again, that we need to understand, and we need to know that, again, there are satanic influences that will be greater in the days of the tribulation period, but there are demonic influences even now in our day and age. And very quickly, just even with this revised Roman Empire, just the influence it has. Look at verse 42 of Daniel 2. The Bible says, "And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken." All right? It's going to be partly strong and partly broken, all right? Because it's not going to be as strong as the first Roman Empire was, but it's going to be a strong empire. It's going to have the expansion authority over all the nations, but then it will give everything over to the Antichrist. Listen, how do you realign this power? How do you align everybody up to what the globalists, what the one world order wants to do. How can you get everybody on board? Well, it starts with first lessening the national pride. You know what? People used to, you saw an American flag? Well, you'd stand up for it. Because, I mean, being an American, you knew, you know what? This means freedom. I mean, people prided themselves in this country. Do you know there are military men and women right now that are losing their positions in the military because they refuse to take the vaccine mandate? Yes. And the very ones that have fought on the front lines have put their life on the line so we can have our freedoms in this country and even to try to liberate other people in other countries, the very ones that saw their own comrades and buddies blown apart are being told, take the vaccine or lose everything. Lose your position, lose your pension, lose everything.
And nurses too.
And nurses. I mean, think about the nurses that were on the front lines back in 2020. Working their long shifts. I've heard of testimonies of nurses not going home to their children and family because they didn't want to expose them. And yet, obviously, many have lost their jobs already. But see, that's how you get countries and even a country that has freedoms to get in line with the globalist mindset, with the one world mindset, is all the good people, get them out. Get them out, because then you're just left with those that just follow right along and will do whatever they're told to do. Okay? And we see that in our country. The lessening of national pride, it's, you know, being American, it's people don't care anymore. Increasing of centralized government, all right. Even the quest for global currency. It's all about. Somebody recently made the statement that I heard that it's not an how they say it. It's not a national mandate that will cure anything or help anything, but it's a global mandate that we need. It's just people talking about globalization, okay? And look, Revelation, I want you to look at Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Look, I mean, there are innocent people that are losing their livelihoods. I mean, they have been nurses for 20 years, in the military for 20 years. I heard about this one military personnel. I forget what rank he is. He's pretty high up there. He only had a few months left until retirement out of the military. And he stepped down. Doesn't get his pension, doesn't get anything. Because he believes more in freedom than being bossed around by a government. Now listen, when you read scripture, and God's given us of the Holy Spirit to be able to understand scripture, there's nothing we have to fear. But we do have to realize that, listen, from the beginning, God's people have always been fought against. Good people have always been fought against. But remember what Daniel said, there's a God in heaven. You and I have a God in heaven that's on our side. You have a God that will help you. Now, I believe in freedom. I believe in America. I mean, I've enjoyed the freedoms, but listen, this right here gives me the most freedom. Because this Bible right here tells me that I have freedom in Jesus Christ. And all things are in the Father's hand. But listen, I've said this before. Not everything impacts you directly, but it impacts you it impacts you indirectly. Not everything impacts you directly, but everything impacts you indirectly. Because even though you may not be losing a job because you're already retired or whatever, your life isn't being changed, listen, it's not going to stop until the devil gets what he wants And what he wants to be lifted up as God. He wants to be God. He cannot take God's throne. But that's why you're going to hear about one world government, the new world order. You're not going to be living during the time of the Antichrist on this earth. But we don't know how bad it's going to get. And I want to just go to the fact that Jesus Christ is returning. Okay? The only thing I gave you this morning was scripture and what scripture says as far as kingdoms and stuff. But I want you to think about in the latter days, Jesus is coming back. He is our hope. He's the one we are to be looking to. In the latter days, the Antichrist will come appearing as a man of peace and making peace treaties. Revelation 6 verse 2 says, "And I saw and behold a white horse." Pay close attention to that. A white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Right? That's the Antichrist who's going to conquer with his substitute peace, his artificial peace. He's going to make the peace with Israel. He's going to make a 7-year peace treaty with Israel, break it in the middle of the 3.5 year. But listen, he's coming on a white horse with peace. Okay? With peace. I want you to listen to Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 and verse 16. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse." Here's another white horse. "And he that sat upon him," that white horse, "was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." There is an imposter going to come. But the real Prince of Peace will show up in the end to destroy the Antichrist, to destroy the kingdoms of this world. And God will set up, God will bring down the new Jerusalem, and we will reign as priests and kings with the Lord. But listen, the Antichrist will come. The day of the Lord will come when men shall say peace and safety. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." In Daniel chapter 7 verse 13, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man come with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. That's that stone that became a great mountain and filled the whole earth in Daniel chapter 2, "which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." The kingdoms of this world will be destroyed, and the kingdom of God will be set up. Again, when you just think about things are happening. Again, over the next several Sundays, as the Lord wills, we're just going to look at different things that are going to come to pass. Again, things that even we won't be around for, but we still, the Bible, God's Word shows it to us, so we're going to go over it. But I can't wait to get to the part where we're going to talk about the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ, all right? Because that's what we have to look forward to, the blessed hope, the return of Christ. We have to look forward to the rapture. All right? But Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." All right? We still have a life to live. We still have to be wise. We still have to seek God for wisdom. We still got to know that, you know, everything that goes on in this world is not for your best interest as a Christian, as a child of God. There are things that are going to happen and are happening that are for your demise. Okay? And we've got to have the wisdom, the discernment of God in these last days. But again, just know that your Redeemer draweth nigh. Your Redeemer draweth. Again, when you see these things happening, Jesus even told his disciples, when you see these things happening, just know your Redeemer draweth nigh. It's even at the door. I mean, we are so close to the return of Christ. I don't know when. It could be another 10 years. To be honest, I kind of hope it's not. I'm kind of ready to go home. I'm ready to meet my Lord. Amen. But you know what? If it's 20 years, I still know he's coming because his Bible says so. because he said he was. We have something to look forward to. But listen, what do we do? What do we do as Christians? What do we do with this, Pastor? What you've said this morning, okay? This one world government and all this stuff. I mean, even what's going on in the world today and even in our country, what do we as Christians do with it? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, very quickly, the Bible says, you know what? In fact, turn there. Turn to Colossians. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. I want you to notice what Paul says in verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of the faith of the Colossians, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. God wants us to increase in the knowledge of his word. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who being Jesus, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Don't forget that you are a child of God, even in this wicked world. What can we do as God's people? We can take care, all right? We can take care of the truth that God is over all. God's revealed things to us. God wants us to walk uprightly among the lost, showing them the light of Christ in our life. There are some dark days coming. There's even dark days now, but we can look up to Jesus, who's coming back soon. Jesus said in Luke 21, 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I mean, again, think, I mean, just, you know, as you look at the things happening in this world and even in our country, and you wonder what in the world is going on. How did our country get to the place it's at right now where it's chaos, there's hatred, I mean, there's killings, I mean, just all kinds of things. I mean, even the fact that, listen, I feel sorry for any lady, any girl who's had an abortion. I have a relative that had an abortion when she was young. Listen, God is a God of forgiveness. But those that willingly, knowingly go and have the abortion without any medical reason, they're killing a child. Doesn't matter what they say. Life begins at conception. And when you trace it back, you can trace abortion all the way back in Scripture to a God that they sacrificed their children to, the God of Moloch. They burned their children alive. The people of Israel partook in that because they had turned away from God and they were sacrificing their own children. It's another form. Listen, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. It's another form of sacrificing to Baal. Baal, who's just the devil. He's got many different names. Many different names. Doesn't matter what name you find around the world, Buddha. It's all the devil. It's the devil who is wanting the worship. He wants to kill life. But remember Jesus said, I came to give life and to give it more abundantly. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. All right? He doesn't care about life because he didn't give life. Who is the one that formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed life into the nostrils of man and he became a living soul? God. So God's not willing that any should perish. What I'm saying is, listen, again, there are those that they serve Satan. There are those that serve demonic forces and demonic powers. Okay? You and I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You and I serve the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the creator of the world, who's the giver of life. And praise the Lord, he's the giver of grace and forgiveness. And we have the gift of salvation through him. All right? So again, we as God's people, if you would go ahead and stand, we'll close the word of prayer. But again, as God's people, we need to be wise in these last days. We need to be wise in the last days and see what's happening and look at it through the lens of Scripture and let Scripture guide us and direct us. Let God be the one that we follow. All right? Still be wise. We still need to pray against the things that are happening in this world, but we still need to faithfully follow the Lord. And remember that your Savior draweth nigh. Father, we do thank you.